In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, just 14 days, 2 weeks away, is the great celebration of Christmas. And the church is in full preparation mode. Make sure that everybody's ready for the feast. Everybody's ready to celebrate and enter into the joy of the Lord. Speaking a little bit about this mode of preparation today, I want to start by sharing something with you that I learned from one of the priests of our church, Father Noah Buscelli, at St. Philip's in Satterton, PA. Some of you are familiar with that parish. It's a church that has wonderful iconography that depicts the saints of the Old and New Testaments, that depicts the events in the life of the Lord. It's a church that is filled with holiness. And Father Noah spoke in a video series that he had produced about how people are welcomed into that community, into that place of holiness, and how they become icons themselves. People who shine with the grace of God, the glory of Christ. And he speaks about how sometimes when people come, they come because they're feeling isolated or alone. They don't feel connected with God or with their fellow man. And they come to the church and they're looking for this very personal connection. And some of them are of different backgrounds. Some are of a Protestant background where they're used to just me and Jesus, this kind of personal connection with the Lord that doesn't have that fullness of being united to his body, the church. It doesn't have that fullness of being not just a son of God, but also a brother and sister in Christ. And he says that coming into the Orthodox Church is somehow different. It's a challenge for them if they're in the me and Jesus mentality, because the church is about us and Jesus. One big family. God is our Father, the church is our mother, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Salvation is about union with God and one's neighbor. And this is what the church is meant to impart to us. We should never underestimate the importance of one another in the spiritual life. We will not find success in our relationship with God if we don't also realize the importance of our relationship with one another. We need one another. We need that great cloud of witnesses. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage us, to support us, strengthen us, realign us when we get off a little bit, to be with us on this long journey. This long journey that leads to the kingdom of heaven, and that long journey that leads to the kingdom of God within the human heart. We need one another on this journey. Today we heard a very familiar parable, comes up every year before Christmas as part of the lectionary, about this great supper, this invitation to the joy and celebration and festivity of the kingdom. And it's given to us 2 weeks before Christmas, so we don't miss the feast, essentially. So we don't blow it. And in the parable, there are people who blew it. And they made excuses. One had to work with their oxen. One had bought land. One had married a wife. And they asked that they be held excused. And these excuses actually correspond to some of our modern day excuses. Why we don't celebrate the feast. Or we don't come to the banquet. Well, working with oxen corresponds to, well, I got to work that day. Bought land corresponds to, well, I got to open the presents that I bought. Married a wife corresponds to, I got to be with family. It's a family day. These are the common excuses. We've been through this many times, and we're not going to dwell on it. But we have to remember, as in the parable, if we don't come to the feast, others will come in our place. This is how it works in the church. If we're not interested in what's being offered, others will come who are interested. There's a great commercial, actually it's a series of commercials that was produced by DirecTV, and I'll share with you one of the commercials. Very funny. It's about this guy who's sitting in his apartment, and he's a subscriber to cable. And his cable is out that day. It's not working. So he looks out the window, and when he looks out the window, he sees some people putting a body in a trunk. And they look up and they see him looking out. And he realizes that he's a marked man now because he's seen this crime. So he decides he's got to fake his death. So he goes about faking his death. Then he disguises himself so that he can attend his own funeral. And the commercial ends, don't be like this guy. Don't stay with your cable, ditch it, and get DirecTV. And you'll be saved from all of this. The Lord is trying to tell us in this parable, don't be like these guys who just blew it, who missed the banquet. Don't be like them. Don't do it. You know, these people who missed the banquet correspond in the history of salvation to those who were in the Old Testament who didn't receive Christ when he came. They were the people who should have been in anticipation for this great event, for this great feast. They were the people who were supposed to be looking for the Messiah, an entrance into his kingdom. And the call was given years and decades and centuries and millennia before the actual event. Before the incarnation of Christ, there were so many prophecies. Prophecy from the 5th century BC, 500 years before Christ. The Messiah would be a descendant of King David. That's in the prophet Jeremiah. The 7th century before Christ. Isaiah spoke about the virgin birth. And that this child that would be born would be God with us. In the 8th century, Micah said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Going back even to the 14th century BC, 1400 years before Christ, the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah in the book of Genesis. And also in Genesis, we read about how this chosen one, this offspring, this seed of David, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even of Eve, would be the chosen one. Remember the prophecy about Abraham? Of your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. You'll number your descendants in a greater number than the sands of the sea, in a greater number than the stars in heaven, that all of these people will come through your offspring, through this chosen one, through this Messiah. And the promise to Eve, that her seed shall crush Satan's head, and that his heel would be bruised. A prophecy about Christ being bruised on the cross, but defeating death by death. These prophecies had been coming since the beginning. The announcement that Christmas Day was coming started on day one. They were to be ready. A great prophecy from the prophet Daniel, whom we remember on this day, happened in the 7th century. Daniel and others were carried off into Babylon. Daniel learned their language, their literature, their customs. He became a trusted advisor to the king. And he spoke to them. He said, "Know and understand this." And this is not just to the Jews, but this is to even the pagans, the people of Babylon. "Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the Messiah, the chosen one, the one that everyone's been in anticipation for, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. After 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off." 7 sevens, 62 sevens, all that. Add it up, turn those into years, and you get 476 years from 444 BC, the time of the decree to rebuild Jerusalem. You get 33 AD. The time of the death of the Messiah, the one whose death will crush Satan underfoot. Prophet Daniel gave it down to the year. So they knew the time, they knew the place, they knew whose descendancy, they knew it would be of a virgin, they knew all of these things. And even then you have Magi, the wise men from Babylon, they travel some 2 years to get from Persia to the Holy Land. Couldn't hop on a flight in those days. 2 years. And you contrast it with the Jews in the city of Jerusalem who lived just 6 miles as the crow flies from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And they didn't come. Amazing. They didn't come. Why? The wise men wanted to find their Savior. They wanted this personal relationship. And they became part of the family. Think about that. They not only did their research through the help of Prophet Daniel, but they coordinated their travel. They didn't make that journey themselves. Let's go together. How many wise men were there? What do the scriptures say?
Three.
Well, no. Tradition says 3, although some say 12. It doesn't say in the scriptures how many. But it does say that there were wise men, plural, that they made this journey together. They figured it out together. They discovered the prophecies together. They made the travel together. They even made their offerings together, right? What did they give? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? Gold for the King of Kings, frankincense for the God of Gods, and myrrh for the one who had come to die for us. They coordinated with themselves. They talked about what they were going to do, and then they did it together. They were on the same page. Brothers and sisters, the church is trying to get us on the same page. And, you know, Christmas, December 25th, some people say, well, it wasn't always December 25th. It was December 25th since the 4th century. It's been on the calendar since the 4th century that this is Christmas Day. This is the day that Christians celebrate. This is the day we come to the feast. And the church has been fasting for centuries. Advent, the time of preparation. Right? We make ourselves hungry, so we're ready to feast. Makes sense, right? You fast for 40 days, you're hungry. We practice almsgiving too. So that our hearts are emptied of our treasure, so they could be filled with God and love for our neighbor. Our lectionary, we heard one of the preparation gospels today. Even the epistle, when Christ, our life, appears. All of these things are to make us ready. Heads up, the Messiah is coming. We go to confession. We're talking about this journey that we make together. And it's a journey to the kingdom of heaven, but also it's a journey to the kingdom within. We have to prepare the kingdom within. Make sure that the cave and the manger, the inner being, is ready and clean. And of course, we're offered Holy Communion, the feast at the Great Supper. All of this is laid out for us, brothers and sisters, by the church, because we are on this journey together. The church is preparing us. The church is coordinating us. You know, we think about those excuses. Gotta go to work, gotta open presents, gotta be with family, all the gottas. What would happen if the person who said, I gotta go to work, found out that actually their place of business was closed on that day because it's Christmas? What would happen if person who said they got to open presents was told by his family, we'll open the presents after we go to church? How about got to be with family? The family said, well, my family are believers, and we're going to celebrate with the Lord in church, and then we'll do our own thing at home. What would happen if we supported one another like that? You know, there's an expression that people use very commonly today. It's a good expression. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. We say that all the time, right? What does Merry Christmas mean? Break it up into syllables. Merry, Christ, Mass. We don't use the term Mass. It's a Western expression. But it basically means have a good Christmas liturgy. Right? That's what we say to one another. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Have a good Christmas liturgy. And yet, we don't even realize what we're saying. Because We say that as we're at home opening presents, while the liturgy is going on. It's preposterous, right? There's a contradiction there. We should say just season's greetings or happy holidays or something like that, but not Merry Christmas opening presents at the time of the liturgy. Brothers and sisters, I know that this is hard. It's hard to break with maybe our own habits, our own customs. It's hard to break with the new norms of society. It's hard to do this. It's hard to push back against this. But you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to push back by yourself. The church will do that for you. The church is doing that for you. You can do that for one another. You can support one another, encourage one another, strengthen one another, realign one another. And you know, we need that. We need sometimes encouragement to keep the fast. How helpful is it to know that everyone's doing that? We need encouragement to give alms, to make our offerings. How helpful is it to know that others are doing that too? We need encouragement to make a good confession. It's wonderful to know that others are doing that as well. Even to approach Holy Communion, to make that preparation, to see others in line, because it's important. Brothers and sisters, we have so many gifts in the church, we don't need to be me and Jesus people. We don't need to feel isolation. We can be strengthened by this cloud of witnesses. We can walk this path together, make this journey together. And we can realize that this journey is both to the kingdom of heaven in the age to come, but also now to the kingdom of God within. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.